Find in your Bible the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 3. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. And the Bible teaches, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." The Bible teaches that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So find Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." For a subject, I want to use American Idol. I want to use American Idol for a subject, but I'm not talking about a singer or a star. I'm talking about the states. I'm talking about the United States of America. The Bible teaches that God talked and gave his people the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." When I think about an idol, Webster tells us that an idol is an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. Amen. It's an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. It can be a person that is greatly admired or loved or reverend. Someone you love and hold dear to your hearts. The aim of our sermon is for us not to cheat on God. Amen. Not to cheat on God. And when you think about an idol, you have to ask yourself, who do I care about the most? Who do I care the most about? Who is it in my life that I can't not live without? Who is number one on the list in my life? Is it God? And so as we think about that, we want us to review what God said to these Israelites. The Bible tells us that God says in verse 2 that I brought you. He says, "I am the Lord thy God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Egypt was the place they were in. The house of bondage is the prison they were in, the house. And God says, "I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You were slaves, but I brought you out." The Bible tells us in verse 4 of chapter 19 that God says, "Tell the people what I've done here. I have brought you out of the land of Egypt on eagle's wings." Amen. Interesting. God uses an eagle's wings to express how he brought them out. You are familiar with an eagle, that majestic bird that is known for having a long life and having great strength. An eagle, once one of its eaglets fall, the eagle dives underneath the eaglet and bores them to safety. God brought his people out on eagle's wings. We must understand that God is expressing here that this is how I brought you out, and he wants wants them to know that in verse 5 of chapter 19, that now you see what I have done, so now understand that since I brought you out, you're going to be, if you obey me and if you keep my commandments, then I'm going to make you my special people. You're going to be a treasured people. You're going to be treasured above all people. You're going to be my special treasure. And he says that you will be my people above all people on all the earth, for all the earth is mine. When I think about that, I think about what the Bible says about God and his people, what God says in the Bible about his people. He says that Israel is known as the apple of his eye, the apple of his eye. And when I think about the apple of his eye, the apple is the pupil of the eye. Without the pupil, you can't see. The eyes are needed, but it's the pupil, and you need the pupil. It's a very sensitive area. It damages easily. And when you look at Zechariah 2:8, God says, if anybody mess with Israel, it's like poking their finger in Jehovah's eye. That's how special they were to the Lord. I did all this for you. I brought you out, and now you are a special people unto me. And you are the apple of mine eye. And anyone who harms Israel is like sticking their finger in Jehovah's eye. And he says that because of that, you see now what I have done. I brought you out. I'm the one who delivered you. And therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he gives them the list there of how he wanted them to live now that they are his people. He says that, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And verse 4, he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, whether it's heaven above, earth beneath, or underneath the sea, underneath the earth, thou shalt not make any graven image, he tells them in verse 4. In verse 7, he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And he tells them in verse 8 to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. You remember these commandments. He tells them in verse 12, that thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father. He tells them that he don't want them to murder in verse 13. He tells them in verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. In verse 15, he tells them that I don't want you to steal. In verse 15, he tells them I don't want you to lie or bear false witness, which is lying. And then he says in verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet their manservants, their maidservants. You shall not covet their ox. You shall not covet their ass or donkey. You shall not covet anything that is thy neighbor. And God talked to them, and it was very interesting, because in verse 18 we find out that there was thunder and there was lightning and there was smoke. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 19 and 18 it says that the earth even trembled when God spoke to them. And they were afraid, so they told Moses, don't you let God talk to us anymore in verse 19, because if you do, then we are going to die. It's amazing that you heard the thunder, the lightning, the earth quaking, the smoke, and the fire. I've never seen it thunder and lightning continually without any rain at all. But that's another subject. But the thing is that he says that they're afraid that they were going to die in verse number 19. But in verse 20, he tells them that God is not trying to, basically what he says is fear not. God is not. He just want to test you. He want to prove you. He want to put fear in your heart and let you know that he is a powerful God. God is a voice to be reckoned with. God is a voice to be reckoned with. And the Israelites needed to know how powerful God was. Do you know how powerful God is? I think we have forgotten who we're dealing with here. We saw last night the lightning and the thunder and how the wind moved the trees and bend the trees and huge trees. God is beyond expression. God is powerful. He's omnipotent. And so he said, God just wants you all to understand how much power also that he has. And we want our children to know. We have to put the fear in their hearts and let them know that they'll bring respect to us. But God is infinitely more. He has so much power. He is almighty. He wanted to understand that. Do you know what you're dealing with here? I am a powerful God. And so God wanted them to understand that and these commandments, amen. The first four is vertical. They deal with man's relationship with God. The last six are horizontal. They deal with man's relationship with man. And God summed it up in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, where he told them that you should love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, with all of thy strength. Mark 12, 30. He said, this is the first commandment. And verse 31 says, the second is thou shalt love thy neighbor. So, and love yourself. And we see that he summed these commandments up, is what God did. And so we know that we in America are living with this same God. We are supposed to love God first. That is the first commandment, because you won't treat anybody else right if you don't love God right first. Amen. They may think you're treating them right, but you got to. God brings balance to our hearts, and we can only be the best person we can be when we love God first and foremost and supremely. He is the one that we are to love. He says, and America has, we have said that, you know, we pledged our allegiance to the flag, and we said one nation under God. This is a nation that pledged allegiance to the flag, representing those states, those stars on that flag. And it lets us know that we have declared that we are a nation under God. And that is critical. That is important, because that is what this country, our country, was founded on. It was founded on a God. It was all about freedom. We have that same symbol or emblem that is mentioned in chapter 19 and in verse 4, where it talks about the eagle. We have the eagle as our emblem, as a symbol of freedom, and the eagle who lives on lofty mountains, and he experienced unlimited freedom as they soar through the eye. But freedom never meant do what you want. Freedom is not something, we're called, we're free not to do what we want, but to do what we ought. And although we have this freedom, God is the one who should be number one. And so he says, I'm talking to you. He says, I want you to review this. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods. No other gods. You see, and so we need to reflect on and see if we have any gods. Amen. We need to reflect on us. We review what God says, but we reflect on us and see, do we have any gods? And because in Israel's day, they had gods. They had false gods, man-made gods is what they had. And the Bible tells us that they wanted a god, they just went out and made one. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 13, it tells us that when they wanted a god, they just went and got a carpenter. They got a carpenter to build them a god. And the Bible tells us that in verse number 15 of Isaiah 44, that they had these gods, and they took the god. They took the man that made them the god. The god was made out of wood. So they took the wood, and they burned the wood to get them some heat. And then we know that they used the wood to get them some food, to bake them some food, and cook their food. And then they took that same wood, and they fell down before it and worshiped it. According to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 17, it says that they worshiped the wood, and didn't make sense because they have done all these things. They worshiped the wood that they had warmed themselves with, that they had cooked their waffles with, and that they had worshiped. They fell down and they prayed to it, and they said, deliver us. And now they're saying to the wood, save us, deliver us. Same thing that happened in Isaiah 46:6. If they wanted a gold god, they just went and got a goldsmith. And this god, through moltenness and melting iron and silver, whatever kind of god you wanted. In other words, these were man-made gods. These were man-made gods. And Paul tells us and warns us about these man-made gods. They are lifeless. They do not have anything. They're false. They are not real gods. But they were putting their hope, imagine that, they were putting their hope in, how could they put their hope in a god like that? A god of wood. They did all these things with it. They made this god. The Bible tells, Paul warns the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he warns them about this. He tells them in verse 18 that these people were sacrificing unto idols, and they had the meat. They were arguing over the meat and offered to idols whether or not they should eat it. And what Paul tells them is that that the meat is nothing, and the food is nothing, and the false god is nothing. But he says in verse 20, but behind the god, you'll find that there is a demon. There's a demon behind idols. You wonder how people are drawn to idols? They are drawn to these idols because of, it is demon worship. These are demon-inspired idols. Imagine how somebody could be dedicated to a piece of wood, to a stick of wood, to a block of wood, to silver or gold statues. But that's what happened. They were demon inspired, and that's what we must understand, is that these are demon inspired, and the devil is behind the worship, because Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. And according to Isaiah 14:14, he says, I'm going to ascend above the heights. I'm going to be, notice this, like the Most High God, like the Most High God. Satan has always wanted to be worshiped like God is. And we must not let it happen. We must be aware when we commit ourselves to these things that we are really worshiping the devil. And it says, your Bible may say devil, it means demons, because there's only one devil. But since the devil has so many emissaries, so many imps, since he has so many demons, his presence is ubiquitous. It is all over the place. And so therefore, we know that although there's only one devil, that the devil is the one behind it all. That's why he's called the little g god of this world, according to John 12:31. And Jesus says that the prince of this world shall be cast out. And he's talking about the devil. But until then, understand, Satan will do anything to keep you from worshiping God. He's always wanted to be worshiped. And so what he does is he tempts us through other things so that we'll worship him and not serve God. Lest I hold you too long. The Bible tells us that he does not want you to worship other gods, because the Bible lets us know that that is something that makes God angry. God is a jealous God. He says so in this verse, in verse 5 of chapter 20 of Exodus. He says that I am a jealous God. God is jealous. If you want to make God hot, you just worship another God. God gets hot, according to Judges 2:20 and Judges 2:14, God gets H-O-T. If you want to make him mad, if you want to make him hot, not just mad, but hot, amen. The Bible says in Judges 2:17, you cannot go a whoring after other gods. And that's what why is it that you can't go a whoring after other gods? Because we're married to God. Amen. Romans 7:4 says we are married to the one who was raised from the dead. Romans 7:4. God, we are the bride of Christ. And God, if you want to make God jealous, don't worship idols. And the thing we must understand is the Bible tells us, you've heard of fleeing fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Flee fornication. Run from fornication. Don't stick around when you start dealing with sexual sins. Run is the best way to do it. Just put on some tennis shoes and run fast as you can, because it's like quicksand when you start dealing with temptation. But what you have to understand here is simply that God also says, you've heard of flee fornication. It's in 2 Timothy 2:22. And also, flee youthful lust, he tells this pastor that war against the soul. He says, flee fornication. But have you heard of fleeing idolatry? 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, flee, run from idolatry. Because there's something going on. If somebody can stand in front of some wood or stand in front of an object and they get drawn to it, that is the devil at work behind temptation, behind everything. Because an idol can be a person or a thing. It can be either one. It is something that you may find you're greatly affectionate toward, that you love or that you reverend. It can be anything, as we hope to get to briefly. But we must understand that God said flee. I never heard of anybody leaving church because they had idolaters in the church. I've never heard anybody say, well, you know, I got to find me another church, because those people at that church, they are so idolatrous. Amen. I saw one of our choir members in the mall, and I see them shopping every weekend. And it's like we worship clothes. Amen. But nobody leaves church because of idolatry. You hear them leaving church over adultery, but not idolatry. Over finances, but not idolatry. But the Bible says that idolatry is something that we should flee also. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Flee idolatry. Run from it. Satan is behind the idol. And but you never hear anybody saying, you know, that church worship cars. There's so many cars at that church, and they keep their cars shiny, and the moment the light comes on, they get it fixed. And even if it's $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000, they're going to get it fixed. They are so idolatrous. And I work in the finance department. I never see them put any money in church. What they do is they worship their car. And I was on my way home, and I saw them. They missed church today, and I saw them out there cutting their grass, and they are so idolatrous. They are worshiping their homes. They're worshiping their cars. They are worshiping clothes. I've never heard anybody leave church over idolatry. We're always talking about sexual sins or problem with the money, but you don't hear anybody leaving because he said, you know, those children, they are so crazy about young people. Amen. That they give their child whatever they want. Matter of fact, they go to church based on what their child wants. And while those things are important, every church should be able to minister to everyone. But sometimes when a child determines your faith for you instead of you, then you made that child a god. According to Luke 14:26, he says, if you come unto me, if you want to be my disciple, and you hate not father, mother, which means don't put them in my place. It doesn't mean to hate them. But if you make them before me, whether it's a father or whether it is mother or whether it is wife or whether it is your children, your brothers or your sisters, he says, then you're not worthy of me. Amen. But you never hear anybody leaving a church because they worship youth. They worship the youth. Amen. All they're concerned about is the youth. That's all they're concerned about. But we can idolize our little children, and we can worship the ground that they walk on. So much so until we ask them, do you want to go to Sunday school, church school? We ask them. We don't lead the way spiritually. Let me get on. The truth is that God wants us to understand that we have got to pledge our allegiance to him. Amen. When I think about America, I think about that we are to be one nation under God. And yet we have idolized equal rights. Amen. We've idolized it. Amen. We have idolized. Amen. We understood civil rights. Amen. But now we have women's rights. We find out that is everyone, women's suffrage should have taken place. And we know that women's rights have their place. But we must be concerned about what did God say? What did God say? Women rights are good. Everyone needs rights as long as they don't violate scripture. We have gay rights. And don't ever confuse the sin with the individual, because God loves all people, but we all got different sins. Amen. But we cannot embrace our sin. We ought to be embarrassed about our sin. We shouldn't be coming out of the closet with our sins. We should be embarrassed. You may engage in sin even after becoming a Christian, but that's the sin. But you should never endorse the sin or not agree with God about your sin. That's the right that we don't have, because this is God's world. This is God's world. And according to Exodus 19:5, he says, all the world is mine. So God loves all people. God loves everyone. We have gun rights, and whether kids get killed here, there, shot up, it makes no difference. Amen. We must recognize that does it kill? The Bible said, thou shalt not kill. Do we need a whole magazine to protect our families? I mean, I have a gun, but I didn't buy my gun to shoot people. I bought my gun to for game hunting. But the truth is that we our amendment rights, we're up on rights, but we go too far when it has an ungodly use. We have all these rights floating around, and a lot of times we do things that we shouldn't out of our immaturity. But the Bible tells us that you don't have a right to do what you want to in somebody else's world. Amen. If I come over to your house, I can't come in your house moving stuff around. Let me hurry up and get on out of here. The truth is that this world, the earth is the Lord's, in the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein, Psalm 24:1. But we have idolized equality. We have idolized these things, and we have idolized the economy. Amen. We know that we have, I'm trying to get on out of here. We have liquor license, and we have these things, irrespective of how many people get killed. It doesn't matter that 100 people die as it related to accidents, and they are 80%, according to what I read, related to liquor. We're not getting rid of liquor. Why? Because of the economy. We've idolized the economy. If it makes money, we're not going to bother it. Is that right? And when you start talking about lives that are at stake, we cannot be afford to. We cannot be afford to idolize these things. Amen. We idolize liquor. We idolize gambling. Amen. Because of what it brings in. And it's one thing to be trying to do something for fun, but to make a living out of getting over on somebody else just by playing a game is ungodly. We have pornography is legal, and America supplies more pornography to the number one supplier of pornography to the rest of the world. Do you understand how many progress we're making through the internet, through the television, and through all this pornography? Satan has used these things behind the scene, and these things, when you think about the guns, it seems to be more now about really how much money it makes. When you think about Vegas and all of these different types of things, it's about the sin taxes. We justify it by saying, well, we need these things for their tax, for the money. But the truth of the matter is that we got idols, idol here, idol there, everywhere, idol, idol. Idols all over the place. We've got to be careful about the idol of the equal rights and the idol of the economy. We have we have idols of endearment. We want entertainment. We want to exercise our bodies, which is good, but if possible, you to idolize your body. We idolize enjoyment. We go to our games, we pack out stadiums, even on Sunday, and not respect the Lord's house. It says that the Sabbath day is the Lord, not just a part of the day. Amen. The truth is that we have becoming so enjoying so many things in life until when God calls us and tells us to do something, we look around and somebody tells somebody, say something to you about God. I'm trying to rush this thing. They say, God who? God is forgotten about in America. I think that we ought to pray to God in light of what we're going through, a daily briefing or a weekly briefing. We should pray, but we've idolized education and we pour all our money into it. And education is good. I try to get a little of it myself, but the truth is that these things have become idols. America has too many idols. America has too many sacred cows. There's too many things in America you can't touch. It doesn't matter what God says about it. Some things we cannot touch. We are not allowed to touch. Amen. You certain things are hands off. Amen. It because people will get upset. But we're supposed to be one nation under God. Let me close. The truth is we need to review what we're doing. Amen. Amen. We review what God said we should do, but we should reflect on what we are doing. And then we should refocus on what God really wants us to do and make the changes necessary. I'm a patriot. I'm American. I'm an American. And you'd have to really leave America to find out how blessed you are in America. You have to go around these, some of these places where you have to walk on dirt and don't have clean water and things like that. But in America, you're blessed. And you don't really know how blessed you are until you leave. But we are patriotic. But listen to our songs. Amen. God bless America. And we want God to bless America. We want God to bless America. But are we doing what we can to honor God? My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Is it possible that we have made America an idol? Amen. We want God to bless America, but have we idolized America? We don't want to do that. We want to, anything that comes first other than God will not receive the right kind of love. We have to be careful, and we cannot waste this pause. We cannot waste this moment. Everything has shut down, and we need to make sure we get the message about what's happening here. And I think that we should have prayer nationally. We need to, every day we need to be talking to God publicly and call God's name and go into prayer. Maybe every morning, the first thing on the news, before the news starts, we're praying and we're stretching our hands out to God. We must understand that God is the one who is worthy to be praised. Amen. We want to do certain things, and we determined to have our idols, but God wouldn't be the just God to let us do any and everything we want to do. Amen. God says that we need to pray. Amen. We need to pray because we need to listen. This is an unprecedented event that is happening in the world, and we need to be careful. We need to be able to pray because the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. But do we have God on our side?